Boy, the Lord worked those songs out. That was right exactly what I was going to be preaching tonight. Get your Bibles and go with me. Can you hear me? All right, good. All right. Let's go with us in your Bibles. Hold on 1 second. All right, can you hear me? Good. I was told this morning that I was eating the microphone, so I'm going to try not to do that this evening. I put it on the other side of this pulpit, and that will help me. I'll have to really go after it if I get to it tonight. So hopefully that'll help with some of that vibration. Boy, wasn't the singing wonderful? Amen, it was. It was absolutely great. It's amazing. You need to pay attention to the singing. God is trying to minister to us. It's amazing how God arranges services. Absolutely one of the most astonishing things that I see periodically from time to time is how God knows where His children are at, what they need. And it's amazing how God can take a message out of heaven, send it through His word to His man, to His people, right on time, right when you need it. And He can send songs and correlate them with the message without any of that being worked out by man. That's how great and good God is, and that's how much He loves you. And He cares for you. And the singing, as I was listening to the words of both of those songs, looking unto the hills from whence cometh our help, boy, I don't know about you, but I need help from the Lord. We're living in crazy times. We're living in days that are just... I said this morning, I get to feeling like this stuff's a big scam and all this stuff we're dealing with, and I go lean one way and think they're just going crazy and going overboard, and about the time I get to feeling that way, my phone will light up and I'll get two, three, or four, like today, four more preacher friends of mine have come down with this awful virus. And one is on his deathbed, his precious wife. They just took her in a hazmat suit to go be with him as he dies at this very hour. And another preacher friend of mine, Brother Hopkins, my age, just put him in the hospital with it, his family trying to stay away from it. But my point is, we need help from the Lord. Whether it's what we're facing in this country with this pandemic, with this virus, you can back up from all that. Say, that ain't really affected me much. I don't think that any of us could say it hasn't affected us. It has absolutely affected us. It's affected all of us. In one way, shape, form, or fashion, it's affected us. But you may not have gotten sick from it. You may not have had somebody in your family die from it, or even a friend. But I'm here to tell you, we all face troubles. We all face tribulation and hardship and heartache, and life ain't all it's cracked up to be. And I want to help you this evening. As your pastor, I had plans to dive into some eschatology, if you know what that is. It's just a big word that I learned in college. It really don't mean a whole lot, except for the study of end times and prophecy. And I hardly ever use that word. Me and the preacher used to joke about it and say, we'll pull that word out and we want to impress somebody. But eschatology just means the study of end times and the latter days. And I had planned and been studying, and we're going to get into that soon, but not this evening. God redirected my heart, and I want to help you this evening. I don't want to just go through a service. I don't take it for granted that you're here. I know it's you going out of your comfort zone, sitting in your car, and I want to feed you from God's Word. And I don't want to take your time for granted, and I appreciate you being here. Go with me, if you will, to the book of Psalms 37, the 37th Psalm, and you can find that verse. And as you're turning there, I'm going to turn over and read a verse out of the book of James in the New Testament. But you go ahead and find your place there in the 37th Psalm, and we'll look at verse 23 there. As you're turning, I want to read a verse to you that I saw different today than I've ever seen it before. I have read this verse, preached it at funerals, preach it to churches and to lost people. And this verse has always had a different connotation because of the latter end. You'll know this verse when I read it to you. But I saw it in a different light today after I was already had half this message done. And I just thought it fit pretty well. The Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 14, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." And I've preached that in the connotation of somebody dying and death and how death is a real reality in our lives. But I've skimmed over the first part of that verse so many times. And I want to go back and draw your attention to the first part where it said, "Whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow." Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? Do you know this evening, you could have plans for this week coming up. But I want to tell you, God can rearrange every bit of your plans. You could have your future mapped out and charted out. But God, listen, according to this verse, you know not what shall be on the morrow. I don't know what's coming around the corner. I don't know what tomorrow is. I want to preach this evening with the help of God on life's uncharted and unexpected detours. Do you know God will put detours in our life? We'll have our life mapped out and planned and prepared, and we are walking a certain direction and thinking we are right where we're supposed to be, only to come to a place where there is a detour sign put in our driveway and in our line of access forward. And I remember coming home from Georgia one night. We were, me and Jenny, I don't know if the girls were with us that night, but we were coming home. I don't know if I was preaching or we were just traveling home. And we come down through Glen Springs. And down there in the bottom down there, there's a bridge. And we was coming in from Georgia, been traveling about 2.5 hours, and I seen a sign said detour on that back country road, and we was almost home. We was almost here. And I didn't want to get on no detour. I didn't have time for a detour. And so I said, I can get around that. Surely I can get around that. And I weaved myself through those signs that said detour, detour. And I went on down there, and I was messing with Jenny. I said, "I'm just going to jump this bridge." And they had took that bridge out, and I flew down through there, and I had her thinking we was just going to Dukes of Hazzard it. But I slowed down, and I just sat there mad, frustrated, thinking, why didn't I read the sign? They put a sign up, said detour in bold print and blazing print. And I didn't want to go that direction. I didn't want to look at the sign and be detoured. I didn't think I had time to be detoured. It was definitely not what I had planned. But you know what I had to do? I couldn't get through. If I was going to get to where I was going, I was either going to have to turn around and go all the way back home, or I was going to have to get all the way back to where that sign was at. It said detour, and I was going to have to follow those directions and go a way that I was not used to going. I was going to have to go out of my way. Now, I didn't like that. And you know life is like that. God will put detours in our life, and it's unexpected. We don't like it. It's out of the norm. It's not what we had planned. But that happens, and we need to know how to deal with it. And so I want you to find your place there where you're at. In the Psalm, 37th Psalm, verse 23. And I'm going to take another verse that you know well, very well. And we're going to look at this thought and try to develop a few truths from it. That the Lord's been speaking to me about today, and I hope He'll help you with it. But when we face life's unexpected detours, or when life don't go as planned, the Bible says in Psalm 37, verse 23, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way." Now, God don't have any detours. God has ordered our paths. God knows the end from the beginning, but we don't. We're going through this life one step at a time. And I thought about this little song on my way over here. Some of you youngins may not know it, but most of you older ones will. "One day at a time, sweet Jesus." You remember that? Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you, if you're going to live the Christian life, it's going to be one day at a time, one step at a time, one decision at a time, one week at a time. And listen, you can't get too far down the road before you go run into a road sign. It's going to say detour. And it ain't going to be comfortable. But God has ordered our steps. And even when we don't know the way, we got to trust that He does. He has a map. He has the way. And we need to trust and follow that. And so, this evening, let's look at a few things. The Bible says in the book of James, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. So we don't know what tomorrow holds. But we do know, according to this verse, that God has ordered our tomorrows. Amen. And if we will follow His way, we can delight. The end of that verse said in Psalms, and He delighteth in His way. Even when we face detours, we can delight if we go in His way. When we try to go in our own way, there is no delight. But when we will just follow God and be faithful to God and keep trucking for God, even when it ain't comfortable, I promise you'll find yourself delighting in the way of God. And some of life's detours, let me say this, by way of introduction this evening, some of life's detours, and we've all faced some of these. I'm about to read to you. Here's some detours in life. See if you can identify with any of these. Disease. That's a detour. I would normally be about 100 paces that way, but I was detoured out here because of disease. You may have had disease touch you in a closer way, in a more personal way. Many around this country this evening are facing and fighting with the detour of disease. They did not plan to deal with cancer. They did not plan to deal with leukemia. They did not plan to have some life-stricken disease, but here they are, and they're in the clutches of disease. And that ain't how they planned their life, I promise you. Nobody sets out and thinks, well, I'm just going to get cancer this week. No, it don't happen that way. But many of you sitting here have dealt with cancer, the detour of cancer. Then, what about here's one? Here's a detour in life that I guarantee you, none of you ever planned. But many of you sitting in this service this evening have dealt with this detour. Divorce is a detour in life that you didn't plan on. Nobody ever says I do only to hope they didn't. No, when you said I do, I guarantee you, you thought that was for life and eternity. But somehow in life, things get messed up and mixed up and all in a mess. And before you know it, you are at a lawyer's office, not a preacher's office. And you ain't filing for a wedding, you're filing for a divorce. And I wish I didn't have to preach that this evening, but many of you in this yard this evening have already been through that detour. And if you hadn't personally, you have felt the effects of those who have. I have. And so divorce, disease, here's one, division. So what do you mean by that? I mean, you may have somebody in your life that you think will always be there. Y'all bestest friends, y'all are super close. Nothing could ever separate you. Only for life to happen. And if you look back over your life, some of the people you was the closest to, you thought nothing could ever separate you. But something happened in life and divided you. Division happens in life. It ain't comfortable. It ain't easy. I don't wish it on nobody, but it happens. Division. Disease. Divorce. Here's one. Depression. You say, I don't believe in depression. Well, you will one day. Hang around, friend. I believe in it. I was so young and dumb to make that stupid statement. I don't believe in depression. Just hang around a while. You'll live long enough to believe God will make a believer out of you. Depression is real. It is a detour that you will take in life that you will wish for tomorrow. You will wish that you could get through this. It's like a deep, dark haze that comes over you. And you don't want to get out of your bed. You don't want to get out of your house. You don't want to leave. You don't want to talk to anybody, see anybody, eat food, drink drinks. You don't want nothing. Depression. Oh, that's a detour. So how long does it last? Longer for others than it does some. There is no determining date you can put on that detour. But it's one most of us, if not all of us, has or will face. Last in this introduction, here's a detour that we all have dealt with and or will deal with. Death is a detour. Death for that husband or that wife or that son or that daughter that you never pinned on paper and put down that you would ever dream you'd have to attend the funeral of your husband or of your wife or of your son or daughter. A mama or daddy. Are you listening? You didn't chart it out that way. You didn't plan it to be that way. But there's detours in life. And death will make death is a reality that we all must deal with. And it has a tendency to detour us in life and to get us on roads we never dreamed we would travel. The roads of loneliness. Are you listening? You know, I could preach on just those, but I wouldn't get to the point tonight. Some people, when they turn on those detours, whether it be disease, divorce, divisions, death, depression, some people wind up getting stuck on that detour. That is not God's plan for your life. Are you hearing me? God don't want you stuck on that detour. Only thing detours are for is to get you on down the road. It ain't to get you stuck in a certain place. That ain't a detour. That's a one-way dead-end street. But many people die on that one-way dead-end street. The detour that gets them lonely and then not only stuck, but then they get sour on God. Are you listening? Some detour has hit you in life. I mean, death has come in and entered your life and you wasn't expecting it. You didn't plan for it. You didn't want it. But here you are and you're on a road you never dreamed you would travel. Here you are and you've gone to a place you never wanted to go. You never planned to go. And your life is not going as planned. And you were on a detour you did not want to be. God didn't want you to get stuck on that detour. God didn't, even though He put that in your life, He didn't want you to get stuck there and stay there. He didn't want you, surely He didn't want you to get sour on that road. And then some even, God help, some even get suicidal on that road. I don't want to get into that this evening, but that's a reality that most people don't want to talk about, but is a reality to more than you want to know. So how do I get to that point? Get stuck on that road. Get sour on God. And before you know it, you'll be thinking thoughts you never dreamed you would think. I've got to move on. I want you to look at your verse. Psalm 37, verse 23. Look at it. It's a very familiar verse. Just three little truths this evening. Oh yeah, it ain't but 6:40. Goodness, y'all got plenty of time. Number one. The Bible says, what's your Bible say? What's them first two words? The steps of a good man. The steps of a good man. I want to look at that word, steps. The steps of a good man. You say, what does that mean? What does that have to do with what we're talking about? I'm saying when you're on an unexpected detour, you need to know that the God of heaven has given you instruction. He's given you directions of how to get down that road. And you don't need to stay on it. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. What does the steps talk about? That's letting us know, don't let up. Keep walking. Keep traveling. Keep moving on. The steps. It didn't say the step, singular. It said steps, plural. One step after another, after another, after another. And it won't be long and you'll be down that path. Don't stop on the detour. The steps, that ought to motivate us to keep moving, to travel on, keep going. Hey, listen, I don't know what detour you're on. Whether you're dealing with death or depression or division or divorce or disease, whatever you're dealing with, let me encourage you and motivate you this evening. Keep traveling on. Keep walking on. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. God didn't put you where you're at to stop. He put you there to keep stepping. Keep stepping. Keep stepping. The devil told you a long time ago it was over. But look at you. Here you are right here tonight at the house of God. He's a liar and the father of it. Don't listen to him. Listen to the Lord. He said your steps. Keep stepping. Keep stepping. Keep stepping. Let me give you this verse. John chapter 8, the Gospel of John chapter 8. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. God don't want you to get stuck in darkness and gloom and doom and depravity and darkness. No, my friend. Jesus come to give us life and life more abundantly. He come to give us light to walk in life. Yes. Keep walking. Don't stop walking. Keep marching. You will get off this detour if you keep traveling. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 8. Oh, by the way, let me just say this. If you are sick and tired of being on that detour, the best advice I could give you is to walk on. It's further back than it is forward. Travel on. Travel on. Ephesians 5:8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You don't have to walk in gloom and doom and sadness and darkness. No, God has given you the spirit of light, and you can walk in the light of His presence and countenance. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanses us from all sin. If we walk in the light as He is in the light. I'm saying if you walk on this detour, you will walk in light. If you're walking to the steps that are ordered by the Lord, you're going to walk in light. If you're in darkness this evening, you ain't on the road God had for you. Amen. Y'all remember Jacob? Jacob, he was a schemester. That's what that word means, Jacob. It means a trickster, a jokester, somebody that's always cunning and crafty. And Jacob would run from his problems. He'd have fun, he'd do it up, and he'd have a ball, and one thing would lead to another, and he'd end up in a mess. And when he'd end up in a mess, he would just take up and run from one place to the next, and run from one place to the next, and run from one place to the next. Until one day, he run, and you remember this, he run into God, literally. His brother was on his heels. Esau was chasing him, and he was about to meet up with his brother and all his companies of soldiers. And Jacob had run and run and run, and he was tired of running. And Jacob, the Bible said, Jacob wrestled with God all night long. And God touched the hollow of his thigh. I'd say that's a rough night. It was a life-changing night. It was a life-altering night. And when the sun broke that next morning, here comes Jacob up over the hill. Just got done wrestling with God all night long. This is what you don't see. You don't see Jacob running. No, his running days are over. The Bible says he's leaning on his staff, but he's still walking. Hallelujah. He's still moving forward. He's limping, but he's making forward progress. He's on the detour. He'd been with the Lord. And I'm saying to you this evening, next time we seen him that morning, he was limping, but he was still walking. Hallelujah. He had the victory. Though he wasn't traveling fast as he used to, he had victory on this detour in life. Remember Adam in the Garden of Eden? Oh, the Bible said Adam would walk with the Lord, and they would walk in the coolness of the day, and he had a good time with God in the Garden of Eden until one day he quit walking. And when he quit walking, he started looking and lusting and touching. You get in trouble when you quit walking. You get standing still. You get stayed in one place too long. Your mind get to wondering. You get to doubting God and questioning everything God. I'm saying just keep walking. Keep moving forward. Say, what do I do? My life's in a wreck. I'm in a place I never dreamed of. This is not what I had planned. Keep moving forward. Keep stepping. The steps. Don't let up. That's what that says. Stepping. Don't let up. No, that's number one. Number two. The steps of a good man. These will be faster. If that'll help you any. That wasn't but 7 minutes. I mean, my goodness. Number two. Not only don't let up, but don't leave God. The steps of a good man. Or by the Lord. Don't leave God. Don't leave God. Say, my life's on a detour. It's unexpected. I didn't want it. It's unplanned. I didn't schedule this. Listen, the last thing you need to do is leave God. Don't get mad at God. Don't get to point your finger at God saying, I didn't deserve this. You don't know what you deserved. You'd have got hell if you'd got what you deserved. I'd have got hell if I'd have got what I deserved. Amen, that's right. Don't leave God. Don't leave God. Don't leave God. But direct your pain and your frustration on, not God, but on the devil. The one that's lying to you and trying to get you off the detour and trying to get you to go back and trying to get you to quit and just throw in the towel. Listen, point your pain and focus and energy on him, not on God. God's the one trying to help you. Amen. God ain't never done you wrong. Never. God ain't never done you wrong. God ain't never done me wrong. He ain't never done you wrong. And anything that comes up in your mind or in your, if your flesh is telling you that or if something's whispering in your ear, understand who you're listening to. You're listening to the father of lies, the devil himself. God ain't never done you wrong. Ever. If you are on a detour, if you're on an unexpected road you didn't plan to travel, know this, God knows where you are. He planned it. He ain't forsaken you. He promised he never would. No, he's right there with you. God ain't never done you wrong. Show me, name me one person that you know that's ever left God and ended up in a good place. You can't think of one, and I can't either. Because when you leave God, you don't go to a better place. Your life goes downhill fast when you leave God. And I don't know, I can't name you one person that's left God and ended up better off. Can't name you one. And you can't name me one. Because it don't happen. It just don't happen. Number three, not only do we need not to let up, but we don't need to leave God. And then number three, and lastly this evening, the Bible says the steps of a good man. Don't let up. The steps. Keep walking. Of a good man. Don't leave God. Are ordered by the Lord. Ordered by the Lord. That unexpected detour you're on may be unexpected to you, but it ain't unexpected to Him. He ordered it. Hallelujah. The Lord orchestrated your path. What are you saying? I'm saying don't limit God. Don't limit Him. You say, I didn't plan this. I thought it'd be better than this. This ain't how I would have planned this. Listen, it ain't your life. It ain't your track. It ain't your plans. It's His. You're not walking on His detour. He planned this. Don't limit God. Listen, this ain't your plans. It's His plans. This ain't what I wanted my life to be. It ain't your life. It's His. You say, I don't believe you, preacher. Will you believe the Bible? Will you believe the Bible? You don't have to believe me. Let me read you what the Bible says. Say, this is my life. No, it ain't. No, it ain't. It's what the Bible says. Colossians chapter number 3, verse 4. When Christ, who is our life? Christ, who is our life? Christ is our life. Now, that should be plenty enough. That's right out of the Bible. That ought to be plenty enough to let you know your life ain't yours. It's His. But 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 has more to say about our life. What? Verse 19. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? Which you have of God, and ye are not your own. Ye are not your own. How simple can I make it? Ye are not your own. This ain't your life, it's His. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, and in your spirit, which are God's. Your life is God's. Your spirit is God's. Your body is God's. So let God. Let God order your steps. Let God order your steps. This ain't the way I wanted it, preacher. This ain't the way Listen, I know I don't like detours either. I don't like planned detours for sure. And if I know one's there, I'll usually go 5 miles down the road just not have to get on a detour. I hate them. But especially unplanned, when I've got my day charted out and planned out and I come up on one unexpected, there ain't nothing pleasurable about that at all. But they're necessary. To get to where you are going, they are necessary. Somebody in higher position than me is who put that sign there and detoured the road. Somebody who knew the geography better than I did. Somebody that knew that the bridge was out and who cared enough about me to put a sign there to let me know, go that way. God ain't punishing you. He's protecting you. Oh, that's good if I am preaching it. J.C. Ryle said this. Wrote this down right before church. I saw this little statement. Trials are intended to make us think and to wean us from the world, to send us to the Word, and to drive us to our knees. That's what trials are for. God ain't punishing you. He's trying to wean you from this world, drive you to your knees, and put you in that book. And that's for your good and mine. Lastly, I'll close with this verse. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. What are you saying? I'm saying, listen, I am who I am. I am where I am by the grace of God. Whether it be detoured, I didn't plan to be here, but He got me here. And I say, glory, hallelujah. I couldn't have a better driver. I couldn't have a better GPS than God. And neither could you. As well as you know your life, as intimate as you are with your own life, He knows it better, and He knows the way home. I plead with you. Just rest in His grace and know God knows the way, and He's leading you somewhere. Whether it's where you planned or not, even if it ain't, I promise it'll be better than where you planned. Yes. All right, let's bow our heads. Amen. I hope you got some help this evening. Amen. Father, we love you, Lord. We sure are thankful to you. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for the good word of God. Lord, thank you. God, that you plotted out a plan. Lord, that you laid out a path. Lord, that you knew my life better than me. God, when I didn't want a detour, Lord, I thank you, God, you put some signs up in my life, Lord, and detoured me in ways I'd have never walked. Oh, God, I look back at my life and I think, how in the world could I get where I'm at today? Lord, it's only by the grace of God. Oh, it's only by your leading. Lord, it's only by the direction of God. Oh, I thank you, Lord. I don't deserve nothing I have today. Lord, I ought to be in hell. God, I thank you for the unexpected detours in life, Lord. I can say that with my heart, Lord. I mean it, Lord. I thank you. God, looking back over my life, I can see the valleys. God, I can see the ditches, Lord, you've protected me from. I can see, Lord, the low spots. God, you've allowed me to come through. Lord, I bless your name. That you love me enough to plot out a plan. God, to order my steps. God, I'm no different than any of these, Lord. You've plotted their plan. Lord, you've mapped out their life and you have a plan for them. I plead with you, Lord, help these that are struggling. God, men broken hearts, Lord, I pray somebody got help this evening. We love you, Lord, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.